The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and welcome to Grace in Focus. I hope you're happy it's Friday. I sure am. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, by the way. You're joining us for number 5 of 7 in our series called Revelation, Letters to the Seven Churches. Now I'm going to come back at the end of the program and tell you a little bit more about our ministry, but as for now, we're going to get right to our discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and David Renfro. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus, where we talk about the grace of God, both in terms of everlasting life, how God gives this as a free gift to all who believe in Him, and in terms of the Christian life, that God empowers us and that God desires to reward us in this life and in the life to come. And if we are overcoming believers, then there will be many rewards for us, including ruling with Christ in the life to come. I'm here with David Renfro. David and I are continuing our trek through the seven letters to seven churches. And what church are we on now, David?
We are on the letter to Thyatira, which is in Revelation 2, verse 18 through verse 29.
All right. And he says, "And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass." So what do we know about the recipients, and also what do we learn about the Lord in this opening verse?
Believe it or not, this is the smallest of all the seven churches. We'd call it a little town or a small city. And ironically, it receives the longest letter. The city was known for agricultural commerce, and it had a bunch of what we would call trade unions or guilds.
Right.
Each guild had its own pagan deity that it was worshiping. So now you've got a dozen or more pagan gods and goddesses. It celebrated a lot of pagan feasts during the year, and it was primarily a Gentile city.
All right, and about the Lord, what is this when he's talking about eyes like a flame of fire?
Well, usually when we see that phrase, it reflects the Lord's anger at sin, or the idea of exposing sin. The feet like brass is more of a purity thing, that he's pure and therefore has the right to judge. I think it's interesting that they add that phrase, Son of God. Believe it or not, that phrase, the Son of God, is only here in the whole book of Revelation.
Ah. In other words, Jesus is identifying himself only in this way here.
As the Son of God.
Yeah.
It's a reference to his messiahship. And because this is a primarily Gentile church, they need to know that he is the Messiah. He is the one who comes and has come to provide everlasting life for both Jews and Gentiles.
Right. Okay, now he starts out, with a commendation in verse 19. So how about reading that one?
Okay, he says, "I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first." So in other words, they're increasing in these good characteristics,
yes.
You know, the love, service, faith. The love there is agape. What I like about the word agape, there's, you know, as you know, there's more than one word for love in Greek.
Right.
And I think this one, agape, is the love of sacrifice. Remember, it says in Ephesians, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it.
Right.
And so to me, that's a love of sacrifice. We're supposed to agape one another, which means we sacrifice for each other. And that, I think, is the tone here, that he's commending them for their sacrificial love, their service to one another, their faith, and their patience, and that all of that is increasing.
Of course, one of the issues we face, David, in these letters is we will have commendation followed by rebuke, which we get here. We don't have it in every letter, but most of the letters have rebuke as well. And you always have to wonder, is the commendation for believers who are living victoriously and the rebuke for the ones who aren't? Or is the Lord even saying that the victorious Christians need to be rebuked? I tend to lead to the former, don't you? That the ones that are walking with Christ are the ones who are receiving the commendation. The ones who aren't, maybe there's something commendable about them, but the rebuke is particularly directed toward them.
It could go either way. You could be somebody that is represented by verse 19, increasing love and service and everything, and you're doing great in those areas, but you really have a problem in another area.
Okay,
and
yeah.
I think that might be part of what's in view here.
All right, so now let's go to the rebuke, which is what, verses 20 through 23? What's this business about Jezebel and all that?
Jezebel, what a lady.
Who names their child, their daughter Jezebel today? Nobody.
Hopefully nobody. Jezebel, if you read in 1 Kings 6:31, Jezebel was a Canaanite. She brought in or encouraged the worship of Canaanite gods and goddesses within Israel at that point and contributed a lot to their destruction later on. What they did was, and this is the problem, they intermixed the worship of Canaanite gods with the worship of the true God, Yahweh, Jehovah, or
right.
the Lord. Intermixing, and we call it syncretism.
Right.
You mix it together, and it becomes a jumbled mess. And that was the very thing the Lord did not want back then. And Jezebel brought it in to Israel. And what this is saying is somebody that's mimicking Jezebel is bringing the same sort of stuff into the church in this city.
So it says, "Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols." So it sounds like she is, whether this is a literal person named Jezebel or whether this is just a name he's giving to her and that's not really her name, either way, it sounds like she's promoting idolatry and sexual immorality.
She is. My hint is that she's really not called Jezebel, but she's acting like the Jezebel of the Old Testament by polluting pure Christian faith with pagan beliefs and pagan practices, such as sexual immorality, that prostitution that we've talked about in earlier letters.
Yes.
And eating things sacrificed to idols says you are essentially identifying with these pagan gods by eating that meat.
I see. And then you have, I gave her time to repent, which is quite gracious on God's part, of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent.
Right.
So, and then he says, indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent. So first of all, she gets a chance to repent, she doesn't. So she's going to the sick bed, mm-hmm. and then if the people she's involved with immorality don't repent, they're going to be also thrown into tribulation.
Right. And notice it doesn't say, I will cast her into hell.
Right.
Because if she's a believer that's gone way off the tracks, that wouldn't fit. To go into a sick bed, I think, means that the Lord is going to try to get her attention through pain.
Right.
Get her to wake up that way. And the same thing is true with the people who follow her teachings.
And what's this business in verse 23? I will kill her children with death. That's pretty strong, kill her children with death. And it says, all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. So what is this about kill her children? Are these literal children? These are her disciples? Are these the people who are kind of falling away? What is that?
I think it's the people that are mentioned in verse 22, those who commit adultery with her.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Spiritual children, that they're following her, that they will, I think that they will experience physical death.
If they don't repent.
If they don't repent.
And by the way, in my book, Turn and Live, The Power of Repentance, I talk about, like in Ezekiel 18, that's where that expression turn and live comes from. If the wicked turns from his wicked ways, he will live. If the righteous turns from his righteous ways, he will die.
Mm-hmm.
And that's physical life, physical death, which was part of the Mosaic covenant.
That's right.
The Mosaic law, anyway. The same thing is true in the New Testament. The wages of sin is death, and the path of sin is a path of death. And unless even a believer repents, well, then God will take them home prematurely.
Yeah, and when it talks about repentance here, it's change what you're doing. Do something else. Like he says here at the end of 23, I will give to each one according to your works. I think it's very interesting that he quotes Jeremiah 17:9-10 in this verse, or paraphrases it. And then he says, I will give to you each according to your works. Why? Your works reflect what you really believe.
Yeah.
So if I saw somebody doing some pagan practices, I have to conclude they are at least partly pagan. I see that in some churches, that there are certain practices that are questionable.
So what is the exhortation we have here? That's 24 and 25?
Notice it says, as many as do not have this doctrine, verse 24, the doctrine of Jezebel, who have not known the depths of Satan, I will put no other burden on you, but hold fast to what you have till I come, verse 25.
In other words, Jesus is talking about here of the rapture, his return.
That's right. So he's really trying to encourage the believers who have not gone the route of Jezebel. Hang in there.
Yeah.
Stay faithful.
And then he makes a promise about that.
Yes, he does. Oh, by the way, did you notice there's no threat here?
Yeah, that's
there's
a good
no
point.
Threat. But there is a promise to the overcomer in verse 26 and following, and he says, he who overcomes and keeps my word until the end, I will give him power over the nations. That is almost a quote from Psalm chapter 2, which is an enthronement psalm of the second person of the Trinity, the Messiah.
Right. But he will share that reign.
The Lord will give him a share of that reign.
The overcomer, yeah.
So the reward for faithfulness is authority.
Co-ruling with Christ, yeah.
Exactly. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. That's also from Psalm 2. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I have also received from my Father. So in other words, they have the share of authority reigning over the nations.
And then the final reward is the morning star. What is that?
Well, the morning star, I will give them the morning star. It's interesting, in the pagan world, that's a symbol of sovereignty.
Ah.
But in Revelation 22:16, the morning star is identified with Christ, which, guess who has sovereignty?
Yeah, the Lord Jesus
Christ. Lord. The idea here, also, the morning star is a symbol of victory.
Yes.
So that's what's promised to the overcomer. Victory, authority over the nations, intimacy with Christ, a close relationship with him.
In fact, you talked about shining. It's like Christ will shine gloriously and the co-rulers will, to a lesser extent, also shine.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Well, thank you all and for listening. And David, thank you for your work on this. And we'll keep Grace in focus.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Our goal is to teach Scripture clearly and without confusion. One of the best tools for gaining that clarity, we believe, is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have all kinds of materials that are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. Please come visit us at faithalone.org. You'll be glad you did. God loves a cheerful giver, and that's why we think our financial partners are the happiest people of all. If you'd like to learn how to become a financial partner with Grace in Focus, we would very much appreciate it. You can learn more at faithalone.org. It's really exciting to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, I hope you'll reach out to us. Best way to do that is through email. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the Monday edition of Grace in Focus, we're going to continue in our series. We hope you have a wonderful weekend, and we look forward to seeing you on Monday. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep Grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.